Morning, Texas, the gospel reading. In 1963, Marvin Gaye wrote a song using a line Southern gospel preachers use when they want the congregation to affirm their point. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness is a fitting title for the Sunday focusing on John the Baptist. Four times in the first three verses, our text speaks of John the witness or witnessing. Literally, he came for a witness to witness. He came only as a witness. This John was witnessing. So, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness for the prosecution? Yes, John himself will take the stand. There is enough in his witness for everyone to believe the light. The text says he came as a witness that he should witness concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. Get that? Just in what John says, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There is the light of every man coming into the world. Just in that is enough that all, not some, not most, but all might believe. Yet, here we sit in darkness. Here we sit with Elvis in our blue Christmas. Here we are with the Carpenters, wishing for someone or thing that's not here. Jesus says the light of the body is the eye, and if your eye is dark, how great is your darkness? When everything is darkness, when we expect things can only get darker, when the only thing darker than our eye is our thoughts, we cannot be seeing the light of the world. We're guilty as charged of believing that darkness has overcome the light. We're denying spiritually a physical truth that light scatters darkness. Can I get a witness? I sure can. John isn't done. John tells us that the light stands among us as one we do not know. How can that be? Apparently pretty easy. Jesus stands in our midst no less really, no less tangibly than in John's day. But we refuse to see him. We refuse to use him. We refuse to rejoice in him. You can see what happened in Jesus' earthly ministry when someone knew he was in their midst. Blind Bartimaeus goes crazy praying for mercy. The demons run to him and fall on the ground. Mary Magdalene grabs on Jesus as if her very life depended on it. Guilty as charged. When's the last time you ran to Jesus in baptismal water? When's the last time you recognized it was the voice of Jesus forgiving your sins when the pastor spoke? When was the last time you knew you were bowing before Jesus present in communion rather than just going through the motions? Can I get a witness? Why bother? John has already convicted us. Not firmly enough. John, the one Jesus says was greatest among those born of women, says he wasn't worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. We, however, think we're worthy to get a Merry Christmas, a White Christmas, or any other Christmas we want. We're convicted not only by John's words, but our own catechism. There we say, we are neither worthy for the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Guilty as charged. We think we have a right to be as joyless and dark this Christmas as the girl who doesn't get a hippopotamus, as the Grinch who stole it, as the Scrooge who humbugs it. When Jesus doesn't do exactly what we want, when we want it, we conclude he let us down, rather than realize the truth that being unworthy, we had no right to ask, let alone expect him to do anything. Can I get a witness? I better get one quick for the defense. This is Jesus. Jesus is the light coming into this dark world. Jesus did not glow except at his transfiguration. But that's the picture you can have. Mary gives birth to Jesus and the stable glows. Light emanates from the manger. Where Jesus treads, faint glowing footprints are left behind. how's this a witness for the defense? Because Jesus, the light of the world, was snuffed out for the world's sake. Being pure light, he took on our darkness and then gave himself up to the darkness. When giving himself up in Gethsemane, Jesus says, "This is the hour of the power of darkness. The great darkness that you know is in you, the great darkness that you know will carry you away, the great darkness that you know has carried you away before, carried away Jesus in your place. Take me instead," Jesus said, and darkness did. But darkness couldn't put out the light of the world. Once it exacted the price, the punishment, the pain for every dark deed you ever did or thought, it could no more keep the light from shining than darkness does Christmas lights. Not guilty. That's what the divine verdict is. God can't hold you guilty for the dark deed of not believing in the light when the light of the world paid the price for your unbelief. The light of the world rose on Easter, calling everyone in darkness out into his marvelous light. Can I get a witness? You sure can. True enough, Jesus stands among us and we walk on by. Walk on by our baptism as if it means nothing now. Walk on by the absolution as if in the mouth of a man couldn't be the voice of God. Walk on by communion as if it's nothing but bread and wine. But Jesus knows us. Jesus recognizes us. Jesus claims us. You know, now in some hospitals, in order to safeguard babies, hospitals have wristbands that play music. Only when the baby gets close to the mother does the wristband play. It won't play for anybody else. Now the baby does nothing. Doesn't even realize what's happening. Not guilty. Though you don't recognize what the playing of the wristband means, though you don't know what the sound of baptismal water means, though you can't hear the voice of God and the words of a man, though you can't see anything here but bread and wine, God does. With every drop of baptismal water, God has searched your mind for Jesus' sake. With every syllable of absolution, God has searched, "I forgive your sins for Jesus' sake." With every crumb of bread and every drop of wine, Jesus says, "My body and blood are here to take you home." Can I get a witness? The standard response to that is amen. Or as we would say in our catechism, this is most certainly true. It ever remains true that the prosecution is right. We are always convicted by the law of not seeing the light, of not knowing the Savior among us, of thinking we're worthy of God doing whatever we think He should. We're ever convicted by the law that we belong with the characters of the secular holiday stories that are without hope, without light, without joy. We stand with Shrek, who finds no joy in holiday visitors. We stand with a Scrooge who sees no light in Christmas. We stand with the Grinch who thinks Christmas joy comes only from things. So when we're convicted of being blind to the light, of not recognizing Jesus in our midst, of feeling you have a right to be disappointed with God, say amen to that witness, but don't stop there. The law not only remains most certainly true, but so does the gospel. The witness for the defense ever remains true as well. Defended by Jesus, we stand with the real people of the real Christmas gospel. We stand with the shepherds in that cold, dark field when all of a sudden the night explodes with light. And we hear, "Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Your Savior has been born." Though we have missed the light 1,000 times, not recognized the Savior where He promised to meet us, and had a sense of entitlement rather than humility, we need not fear. Jesus doesn't come into the world to make people afraid, but to remove our fears. The gospel ever testifies that no matter how unwise, stupid even, you have been, you can go over there and stand with the wise men. They lost the light that was to show them where their King and God and sacrifice was among them. They even got to the point of despair. But suddenly the star is there, and again they rejoiced a great joy exceedingly. The gospel says you can stand with them. Jesus has paid for your place with them by his blood, sweat, and tears. By his wise life and his holy death, Jesus purchased you a place in the caravan of the wise men this Christmas. You can say, this is most certainly true, not only to the law, but to the gospel. And that means you can stand with the real people of the Christmas story, not just shepherds, not just wise men, but John. John saw the light even in a dark, foreboding wilderness. If you read ahead in John 1, you'll see that baptism is what made it possible for him to recognize the light that was among them. You've been baptized. You've been brought out of darkness into his wondrous light. Don't unsee the grace. Don't unsee the mercy. Don't unsee the peace that are guaranteed you in Jesus' name. Go over there and stand with John and say, this is most certainly true to the witness of the gospel. Well, John was only 6 months old in his mother's womb. Jesus knew him there. Psalm 139 says the same thing about you. You were hand-knit by God in your mother's womb. How well a person knows something they personally knit. How precious it is to them. That's you and John. Not only was John known by Jesus in his mother's womb, he jumped for joy there, says Scripture. Maybe some of us did there too, but I know every single one of us can hear. For what caused John to leap for joy was being filled by the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit was poured out on you in baptism. It was put into your ears in absolution, and it's eaten and drank in communion. It's a wonder that we don't all leap for joy coming back from communion. Maybe we can't or shouldn't do that in here, but we can out there. Perhaps it would help if the chorus, "Can I Get a Witness," would get stuck in your head the way songs do. Not the 1963 original, but the chorus that's incorporated in the 1974 song, "Some Kind of Wonderful." Don't have it stuck there as this unending question, but as a reminder that you have a witness in John, and ultimately he witnesses to the joy that is yours in Jesus. That's why the candle for the third Sunday in Advent has lightened from purple to pink. It's a reminder. A reminder that even in a season of repentance, there is a time, even for sinners, to lighten up. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.